Have you ever felt disillusioned? I know I have. I feel disillusioned when I think about, the amount of years that I've spent as a believer, and I ask myself, why don't I have more faith, more joy? Why is it still hard for me to love certain people? By now, shouldn't I have a better handle on my anger or my worry and my insecurity and envy? Shouldn't I be further along in my faith than where I currently am? Why am I not more like Jesus? And when I ask these questions, I feel disillusioned. If you feel like that, well, perhaps this talk is going to help you, because I want you to think differently about the word disillusioned. You see, that prefix dis, actually it means separated from. So for instance, if you are disinherited, then that means that your parents have removed you from your inheritance. If you are feeling discomfort, then you no longer have comfort. If you are disinterested, interest has been removed from you. If you have been disemboweled, you get the picture. So if you are disillusioned, it means we no longer have any illusions about Christianity. If we are disillusioned, it means we realize that we are no longer under the illusion that spiritual growth happens overnight. I used to think that if I could just go to, the right Christian camp or the right conference, or if I could, just somehow listen to the right sermon or whatever it was, memorize the right verse, then I would miraculously grow. You see, it doesn't work that way. As human beings, we into microwaving, but I think the Holy Spirit is more into marinating. You see, spiritual growth does not happen overnight. To think that it does would be like, an athlete buying a pair of running shoes, or actually, no, sorry, not an athlete, someone who spends their time on the sofa every day, waking up and buying a pair of running shoes, and then, expecting that on Saturday they can run a marathon. It doesn't work that way. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, we read this. Paul said to Timothy, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. Now, when Timothy read those words, an image would have come to his mind. He would have thought, being a young Greek, he would have thought sports. Gymnasiums. Guys, what does a gym smell like? What does it look like? It's all these people doing workout. It smells of sweat. Train yourself to be godly. You see, athletes are not under any illusion that you can go to gym one day and then slack off for the next 6 months. If you want to get fit, you need to train every day. The top athletes, even when they are at the top of their game, they continue to train. See, that's why people like Johnny Wilkinson, he would, even though he was the best kicker in the country, when everyone else has gone home, he would remain on the field, with rugby ball after rugby ball, and he would kick it through the post, through the post, through the post. Even when he knew he could do it blindfolded, he would still do it. Galatians chapter 4. Paul the Apostle wrote this, "My dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and this will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives." You see, we need to train ourselves to be godly until Christ is fully developed in our lives. I'm not sure about you, but that hasn't happened for me yet. Christ is not fully developed in me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said this, "Christianity without discipleship," and I guess we could equate that word with discipline. Christianity without discipline is actually Christianity without Christ. Now, we need to understand that growth in our faith, we can't make it happen. God is the only one who can bring about growth in our lives. But to think that we don't have a part to play in that growth is to be living under an illusion. Yes, there is definitely something that you and I need to do. How do we grow? What is it that you and I need to do? Great question. We need to practice the spiritual disciplines. You know, like Johnny Wilkinson would need to practice kicking that rugby ball through the posts. Cristiano Ronaldo would practice putting the ball into the corner of the net. Stephen Smith would practice playing those cricket shots again and again and again. You and I need to practice the spiritual disciplines. What is a spiritual discipline? I'm impressed. You are asking all the right questions today. A spiritual discipline is a discipline that causes you to get from where you are to where you ought to be in a spiritual context. Whatever it takes to get you from where you are to where you ought to be, that is a spiritual discipline. A spiritual discipline is not a measurement of how spiritual you are. A spiritual discipline is not necessarily unpleasant. It could be the best time of your day. I know that sometimes the happiest part of my day is that time that I spend reading the Bible or praying or going for a walk. And just spending that time praying, it's not an unpleasant thing. A spiritual discipline is not a means of earning favor with God or twisting God's arm. And also, a spiritual discipline, a necessary spiritual discipline, is not necessarily the same for every single person. It could be different. So how then do we know what spiritual discipline we need to practice? If I could just read to you from John Ortberg's book, he says the answer to the question, what spiritual discipline should I practice? It comes from thinking backwards. First, we must understand clearly what it means to live in the kingdom of God. And Jesus spent much of his time helping people see what true spirituality looks like. And then secondly, we need to learn what particular barriers keep us from living that kind of life. And third, we must discover what particular practices, experiences, or relationships can help us to overcome those barriers. And then he goes on to say something which I found not only challenging but inspirational. He said this, for instance, we know that we're called to be loving. Now, one thing I discovered when I spent a day trying to live in a loving fashion is that love requires an enormous amount of energy. And I was just too tired to give it. So I realized that, as unspiritual as it sounds, if I was serious about becoming a more loving person, I was going to have to get more sleep. I've discovered that I have a very hard time thinking and feeling and acting like Jesus when I lack sleep. And so for John Ortberg, and dare I say for me and for many of us, one of the key spiritual disciplines would be getting to bed on time. So if, you know, you and I are meant to be resembling Jesus in sort of ever-increasing measure. You know, it's not about asking the question, what would Jesus do, when we're facing a particular decision, you know, in a stressful situation. What would Jesus do in this situation? I don't believe that that's actually the right thing to do, because we can't expect in the heat of the moment to make a decision like Jesus would have made unless we are living our lives like Jesus on a day-to-day basis, 24 hours a day. Because it is the disciplines that Jesus put into practice that gave him the wisdom and the calmness of spirit to be able to make the decisions that he made. So it's not about copying Johnny Wilkinson's kicking style. You know, he has this very particular thing where he would hold his hands together and he would kind of crouch down and he would sort of breathe a few times, you know, and then he'd look up, Oh, I forgot. He would first pick up some of the grass and, you know, throw it into the air to see which way the wind was blowing. And then he would crouch down and look up at the posts and down and look at the ball and look at the posts. And then I could copy that style exactly. But you know what? If I don't spend the hours that Johnny Wilkinson spent practicing kicking the ball through the posts, I'm not going to be able to do it. Just simply saying, what would Jesus do in this situation? No, that's, I need to put in the hours. I need to put in the hours. So we read this in Luke chapter 2. It says, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with all the people. In favor with all the people. So you have like four areas there. Jesus grew physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. Now, there are so many spiritual disciplines. And at the end of this talk, I'm going to give you the titles of three books along with their authors. And I'd encourage you to read even just one of them. They really are helpful. There are so many spiritual disciplines. But if we're asking what should my life look like spiritually, what are the barriers, and then what steps do I need to take to overcome those barriers? Let's start off by taking these four areas in which Jesus grew. So wisdom. What would it look like for you and I to be growing in wisdom? What did it look like for Jesus? Well, you know, at the age of 12, Jesus knew so much of the scriptures that the rabbis, the learned people, were astounded at the wisdom that Jesus had. He studied the scriptures. You know, what would it take for you and I to study the scriptures more? Paul the Apostle, he also gives a great example in this. He, when he was in prison, and many people, many scholars believe that 2 Timothy was the last letter that he wrote, that he wasn't actually released from prison, but he was executed shortly after writing this letter. So he wrote to Timothy. He was an old man at this stage. He was in prison. And he said, Timothy, when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and bring my scrolls, especially the parchments. You know, the modern day equivalent of that is, Timothy, bring my books. Timothy, I want to study more. And bring my scrolls, because I want to write. I want to journal. Timothy, just, I don't want to stop learning. I know I'm an old man, but bring my books and my journals. And just, this is an unashamed plug, but during lockdown, I've started an online Bible college where you can study to get a bachelor's degree in theology. It's not going to cost you anything financially. It'll cost you your time. If you want to know more about this, just send me an email. Here's my email address. Drop me an email, and I will send you the first course in this. But the point is, one of the key spiritual disciplines is learning. Learning more about God, learning more about ourselves. And in fact, that leads into the next point. It says Jesus grew in stature. And, you know, I think that's more than just that he grew physically, that he did a lot of exercise, you know, that he could do X amount of push-ups and sit-ups. Yes, he did walk wherever he went. And so physically, he was healthy, he was strong, he was fit. But I think, you know, growing in stature kind of speaks to me of you know, walking with your shoulders back and your head held high. It speaks of being confident in who you are. And what are the barriers leading to you and I being confident in who we are, being comfortable in our own skin? Well, for some of us, that's going to be dealing with our insecurities. You know, for some, that would be the spiritual discipline of solitude. Because, you know, if we are insecure with who we are, then we don't want to spend time in silence. If we are not confident in who we are, then silence brings those awful questions as to, why am I not where I want to be? Take time to practice the discipline of solitude. Spend time in silence. No earphones, no YouTube or Netflix, just silence. And you know, perhaps you need to start with 5 minutes of just complete silence. Jesus grew in favor with God. This is almost the easy part in terms of the spiritual disciplines, because it's reading the Bible, spending time in prayer. Jesus would do this. Sometimes he would spend an entire night in prayer. And another great thing to do here is the discipline of keeping a journal, particularly a spiritual journal. Begin journaling. Write down your prayers and your thoughts. Many people who know me, you'd know that what I've been doing in the last couple of years is part of my journaling is just writing out the Bible. I love to just write out the scriptures. You know, it's a practice that that the kings of Israel had to do. Each king had to write out the scriptures for themselves, to have their own copy in their own handwriting. Imagine that. Imagine if each of the leaders of our countries had their own copy of the Bible in their own handwriting. Imagine how different the world would be. But never mind that. Let's not think accusingly of our politicians. Take the challenge to our own hearts. How different would our lives be if we each had a copy of the Bible in our own handwriting? And it says Jesus grew in favor with man. He grew socially. Now, I mean, the way to grow socially is to live with a like a servant heart, a servant spirit, serving other people, living a genuinely sacrificial life. You know, there are so many examples in the Bible of where Jesus would like wash people's feet when he was tired, and he would minister to the people. He would heal them. Other people's needs took priority over his own needs. If we want to grow socially, we mustn't be thinking about our own needs and, oh, you know, I this is my personality type. I just need this. I need my space. No, no. What do other people need of you? And live putting other people's needs as higher priority than our own. That's how Jesus lived. I think, you know, one of the best bits of advice when it comes to these spiritual disciplines is don't forget leg day. You know, it's quite a joke in gyms. You can spot the people who just want to work on their biceps or their pecs, and they neglect working on their legs because, you know, you can hide your legs in a pair of trousers, but your biceps and your chest get seen. You know? Don't forget leg day. Don't pick one discipline and major on that. Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and in favor with man. There was a balance. There was a balance. And so that is how we need to work on our spiritual disciplines. And so here are these three books which I think you would find helpful, and I'll put them here in look, you can pick any one, but depending on how long or how short you've been walking with the Lord, perhaps you want to start off with spiritual life hacks. I love this. Len Woods in this book, he refers to the spiritual disciplines as life hacks, and genuinely that's exactly what they are. You want to learn how to hack this thing called life? Well, get stuck into this book. Then I think once you kind of read through that one, you might want to read The Life You've Always Wanted by John Ortberg. And John Ortberg unashamedly says, hey, most of the ideas that I've written in this book, they come from this man, Dallas Willard. And so if you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty, well, then get stuck into The Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard. Phenomenal book. I've read through this book so many times, and it's not about reading it, it's about putting it into practice. And so I encourage you, buy one of these books, read them, get the audio book, get the paper book, get the Kindle book, whatever it's going to take. But grow in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and in favor with man. And then you will become disillusioned. You will no longer be living under the illusion that spiritual growth happens just like that. But it is a process. It is a daily discipline that you and I need to walk in. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you today for the way in which you gently lead us along the path of spiritual maturity. Help each one of us. We all on a different part of the path. We, some of us are just starting out. Some of us have been walking this path for many, many years. But for each one of us, no matter how old we are in chronological years or in spiritual years, we all can grow closer to you. And so, Holy Spirit, come and help us. Reveal to us right now what our next step is in the spiritual journey. In Jesus' name, I commit us into your hands. Thank you for your grace. Amen.